You ever given someone instruction and they like blow it? Yeah. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like you give someone instruction, maybe do this, don't do that. Would you maybe to an employee you might say like, could you please do the thing? You know, here's the instructions, here's what I'm asking you to do, or maybe to a child or a friend, you know, would you go pick up the thing? And then they think they did it, but you don't think they did it. This is a phenomenon that you're familiar with. And it could be that they, in all earnestness, thought that they understood what you were saying to them, but there was a lack of clarity, and so they get off, like, on the wrong path. Maybe you've given someone instruction where you're like, you know, hear me, people. You know, if you're like a lord or lady over a region or something, like, what's the TV show called with the in the 1900s with the fancy British people in the Abbey downtown Abbey? Downton, of course. You know, like you're ringing little bells and you're giving a, you know, and they come out with the thing. This has happened to you? No, okay, so we'll go back to the other one, right? Kids and employees or something like that, right? You give instruction, and the people think that they understand, and so they put their body, mind, and soul to working towards that end. But if there's a deviation, that deviation could actually be really unhelpful, right? What I want to invite us to do today is to look at one of the most famous instructions given by Jesus. Famous, maybe you could say, commands given by Jesus. And to revisit it, even though it's quite familiar for many people, although I know that there's many of us who this will be the first time hearing it, this is like one of the famous texts that churches have historically gone to. But there's been there's been occasion for deviation. And so what I invite us to do is to think clearly about this particular text and also think about how we might live out this particular command in our own lives. So if you're a follower of Jesus, I'd invite you today to revisit this text with fresh ears and a fresh heart, but also perhaps even a prayer, Lord, how would you call me to live this out today? And so we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew. This is Matthew 28, 16 through 20. And it's going to go a little something like this. And a hush rolls over the crowd in anticipation. Here we go. So Jesus, by the way, real quick backstory. Jesus had spent about 3 years, we think, with a bunch of his followers. There was specifically 12 followers that were like the 12 disciples, and they followed Jesus around. And he taught them, and he did miracles, and he did a lot of instructing to them. And then Jesus at one point in time said, look, we're going to go to Jerusalem where I'm going to be betrayed, and then I'm going to be turned over, and then I'm going to be crucified, or I'm going to be killed by the hands of your enemies. And then after I die, 3 days later, I will rise from the dead. And do you think they believed him? No. They, by and large, did not believe him. They said, no, dude, don't go die. Let's go kill all the Romans. Right? That was kind of the, which is a very normal posture, unless you're Roman. So Jesus did all the things that he said were going to happen to him. They happened to him. He died. He was turned over. He was crucified. And then 3 days later, guess what? He rose from the grave, which is, by the way, why we're here today. It's why we're gathering on a Sunday. It's why most people worship on Sunday mornings, because it was that early Sunday morning that Jesus rose up from the dead. By the way, if Jesus didn't rise from the grave, this is all dumb. Right? Spoiler alert. Okay, so huge deal. The resurrection, huge deal. Now, after the resurrection, Jesus had told his disciples, I want you to go to a specific place and I'll meet you there. Okay? So watch this now. So the 11, oh, by the way, do you know why there's not 12? You ever heard of Judas? So by this point in time, he got voted off the island. Right? Is that reference too old and outdated now? Survivor, are we still doing that? I think it still works, okay. Most of my illusions are rusty and boring, and so hopefully that one's good for you. The 11, right, disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. Jesus gave them instruction, go to this particular mountain in Galilee, and guess what they did? They went. Okay, great. Now, When they saw him, remember, what had happened to him before? He was crucified on a cross. And usually when people are crucified on a cross, they die. And so what they generally don't tend to do is come back to life, okay? When they saw him, they worshiped, but out of the 11, some doubted. I just want to invite you today that most of the following Jesus thing, most of what it means to follow Jesus involves worship and doubt. So I hear people talk about, like, I have a firm faith. Okay, awesome. Just want to notice that the majority of the people in the Bible do not. Most of the people that God uses in Scripture are somewhere in this mess of, I'm worshiping, but also I don't know today. And so if you've ever felt this like thing going on inside of you, like a tension of like, I believe, but I don't believe. Like I'm worshiping, but I'm also doubting. That's very normal, according to the teaching of Scripture. In fact, there's this great line where Jesus is engaging with this person and Jesus says, do you believe? And the person responds, I believe, help my unbelief. And that is an excellent prayer. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Okay, so some worship, and they all worship, and some doubt. Jesus came near. If you're one of the 11, and Jesus comes near to you out in the woods, the last time that you, like the last vivid image that you have of him is he's being crucified, how do you feel? That's scary, right? Like, do you think they're feeling intense feelings right now? Oh yeah, okay. So Jesus comes near and says to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. How much authority? All authority. Some of the later, some of the earliest Christians are meditating on this in other parts of Scripture. And like this one dude named Paul, he wrote a letter to a church in a place called Colossae. It's the book of the Bible we call Colossians. And he basically says that Jesus, check this now, he's meditating and worshiping and he's thinking on this, and he says, Jesus holds the universe together by the word of his power. To put it another way, he's got the whole world in his hands. You're right on. He holds the entire, does anyone here wear a seatbelt to bed because they're concerned about gravity stopping? Like, do you think when it's time for some memes, are you like worried about floating up out of your bed because gravity stopped working? No, by and large, you take gravity for granted. According to Colossians and according to this idea, the reason that we don't have to wear seatbelts to bed because we're worried about gravity collapsing is because he's got the whole world in his head. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He's got like all the authority, okay? By the way, is this a flex? This is a flex. Like, he's about to tell them something, and he's like, he's got like the muscle shirt on, you know, and it's like, and he's just like, listen up, right? All authority. Like, what's about to come out of his mouth isn't like suggestion time. All authority. Go, therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore, what? Like, he's saying, I have all authority. And in light of that, therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. This is key. Remember the big flex about the authority stuff, right? So if you're a follower of Jesus, here's a command. Go and make disciples of whom? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the way, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Early in Jesus' ministry, Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. And at that baptism scene, there's Jesus in the water. The clouds part. And you hear a voice of God saying, this is my beloved son. Where is it? My beloved son. And then it says that they saw the Spirit descending like a dove. So you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, at Jesus' baptism, you have in, if you had an image of it, you would hear and see, or you would sense the presence of Father, Son, Spirit. Today, when we baptize people, we say, I baptize you in the name of the Son, the Holy Spirit, okay? And the reason that we do that is because Jesus called us to do it, but Jesus also did it. Right? So Jesus is like a great example for us to follow. Okay? Okay, so let's zoom in here. Who are we to make disciples of? All nations. Now I want to stop here. In America, we're very strange for many reasons. But our speech, like our language, is a mess. People who speak other languages, they know our, like, translating from American English, we have like 18 words for one thing, right? Most other languages, especially ancient languages, are like, we have one word for 18 things. Right? Nations, in American English, when we think nation, usually, watch this now, I know this is gonna be boring for just like 2 seconds, just hold on with me. Let's remember our high school civics class. In high school civics, we would have, if I was paying attention, I would have learned that there's a difference between a state and a nation. A nation, in your Bible, in ancient Greek and Hebrew, in ancient Greek, this word is ethnos. Ethnos. Does that sound like any words we use to say, that we use today? Ethnic, right? So ethnic is just identifiable people group. Okay, so it's not the same as a state. A state, watch me now, a state has borders, usually military, usually taxes. You follow me? That's what a state is, right? Or you might even say a country, but we use country weird because we say this is God's country, but we usually mean the land, not the state, right? So what I want to draw our attention to is Jesus here is not talking about states, he's talking about peoples. By the word Gentile in your Bible is an old, I hate that we translate it Gentile. It's this word, it's peoples. All the ethnos, all the peoples, okay? So, and here's why that's important. In America, are there more than one identifiable people groups currently residing in the state of America? Oh yeah, there's lots, okay? So Jesus is not saying, hey, listen, if there's one disciple in the state of America, you're done. No, it's peoples. You guys, good? Okay, so go and make disciples of all peoples, all peoples. How many peoples? All the peoples, okay? So I want to slow down here, and I want to ask you, how do you imagine the church? When you think of church, when you think of the collection of Jesus followers, how do you imagine it to be? Many times when we use the word church, we think of a building, which is fine. But even think about what ethnicities put that architecture together in the church that you're imagining in your brain. It's probably your own, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I just want to notice that if we're to make disciples of all nations, then Christianity, watch me now, Christianity will look and feel and taste and sound different based on the people group that it went into, because Christianity is unique to, at least in my understanding, Christianity is unique to all other world religions in that it does not carry over any sort of ethnic identity markers like food, music, dress, which means that if you were to look at Christians in like Chivale, Uganda, they would be eating different food, wearing different clothes, listening to different music, speaking a different language, celebrating the Lord's Day in a very different way. And that's just the way the Lord has designed it. Now, here at Desert Springs, we live in a multi-ethnic, multinational community. And one of the things that we're working diligently to do is make sure that no one people group has home field advantage. Now that's hard, because listen, you are listening to me speak what language? It's bad language, like it's bad English, right? We got some English majors in the house, and they're just, this is not English, Campbell. This is something else, right? So, and we kind of have to figure out how to do that, but one of the things that we're committed to as a church family, like through bilingual scripture reading, multilingual songs, different food, different, like all the different expressions of the church, in as much as we have here in our community, we want to see that in this church family. That's one of the reasons why we say we are a bunch of misfits. I'll prove it to you. I want you to think about different ethnic groups of people. Generally, do they get along? Are they unified together? When according to the default operating system of the human heart, when we approach someone who's of a different ethnic group than our own, do we approach them with curiosity or suspicion? What do we tend towards? Or actually, watch this now. Have you heard of them? They're scary. They do things the wrong way. They are out to get us. Pink Floyd sang about this. There's the us and the them. And the thems can be leveraged by some of the leaders in the us group to create fear-mongering and toxic anxiety so that we view them with suspicion because they're different than we are. What Jesus is saying here is absolutely revolutionary. Make disciples of whom? All the nations. Even the people groups you don't like and are afraid of. Okay, oh yeah, let's do this. One of the most profound ways that we can grow in our faith journey is walking it with people who are nothing like us. When they say, I don't see it that way. I don't hear the same thing you're hearing. How can you think that? I don't understand how you, and that what that does is it raises opportunities for self-reflection to see if am I absolutizing my own experience? Especially for those, regardless of where you exist in the world, if you're in majority culture, we can fall into the temptation of thinking, this is normal, everyone else is an aberration. Can I give you a little pet peeve? So majority culture people in America, I'll hear them use language like, I want to go have some ethnic food. What you eat is ethnic. It's yours. Embrace it. But do you hear in that language, there's normal, my way, and then there's aberration? Do you see how that can lead to a superioritizing of my nation over others, right? Okay. And so Jesus says, no, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We share one faith, one Lord, one baptism. That is the most equalizing statement in all of Scripture. All ground is equal at the foot of the cross. To put it another way, Jesus doesn't like your people any more than he likes any other people. And you don't have Christianity on lock. How do we envision the church? I want to draw a picture. And it's not going to be good. Okay, so lower. If your expectations are here, we need to bring them here. But I want to draw you a picture. I want you to think of something. I want you to think about how different churches exist, okay? Too often we fall into the temptation of using language like best and worst. Like, is that church better or worse than that church? And I wanna reframe our imagination, okay? Instead of thinking best and worst, I wanna invite you to think about the forest. Have you guys ever gone on a walk through the forest? Like intentionally, you know, like not, okay. You guys ever gone on a walk through the forest? Okay, so what do you see in the forest? Uh-oh, I think I lost my, oh, there we go. So you see trees. And what? Tell me what kind of trees. You see like, let's see, there's like pine trees and there's like big trees. Help me out here. Don't give me species, please, because I can't draw. So there's like big trees, and then there's like small trees, and then there's like aspens, which are all clumped together. And then what's like on the ground? Like little bushes, yep, okay, and some grass. And what else? What'd you say? Pine cones. Bloop, 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 bloop. And then there's like other trees, and then there's like that really big tree. And okay, so here's what we know about the forest is in isolation, any one of these trees left unto themselves will eventually die. The reason that these trees are flourishing is because they are part of a 10,000 extra school points, if you get this word. They are part of a ecosystem, or if you're fancy, ecosystem. Thank you very much. So they're part of an eco or ecosystem. Here's what we know. This is fascinating. Not only do the trees share the same soil, we know some folks who've done a ton of research on this in forestry and Forest Service stuff. They've actually found that under the soil, what's under the soil, by the way? Okay. Yep. Okay. Okay. It's not good. Okay. So there's roots under the soil. Here's what we found out. And when I say we, I don't mean me. I mean like humans. There are fungus, living fungus, that will connect the root system together. If you've ever dug out in the forest, you'll actually see it's little white tubes almost, little yellow tubes. That's fungus, and what it's doing is it's connecting underneath the soil. You don't see it, but underneath the soil, that fungus is connecting at the roots this ecosystem. And what we found out is that they're actually talking to each other. One Forest Service, I forget her name, I'll put it on the internet if you guys want to find out later. She put a little drop of radiation in the tree that was on the edge of the forest, came back later and found it spread through the whole ecosystem. They're talking to each other. They also did further research and found that when a little sapling would start, when a little seedling would be under the ground and it would start to develop, that the fungus would find its way to it and the trees would share resources with the new life. They also found that when an enemy would come in at the edges, like a disease or a beetle or that type of thing, that as the exterior trees were being attacked, they would send signals and the trees inside the ecosystem would develop antibodies and defense mechanisms. They also found that when a tree reached the end of its life cycle, it would dump its carbon into the root system and share its last bit of life as a gift. This is the church. Are the trees in competition with each other in a healthy ecosystem? No. Do they look different? Does the fruit they produce, does it taste different? Does it look different to the fruit, right? And so you can see in the ecosystem that while each individual plant or tree is beautiful in and of itself, it's also woven together into a tapestry that underneath the surface, you don't see it, but underneath the surface is sharing and blessing and giving. This is the biblical principle of reciprocity in the church, that there's a gift giving and a gift receiving. There's constantly the giving and receiving of gifts. Even if you don't see it up here, you see it down here. And by the way, I'm going to push this metaphor. What is the fungus that binds us together with all the other manifestations of the church here in Phoenix and around the world? The Holy Spirit. You don't see it, but the Spirit is connecting and moving. And when a church is healthy, right? It's living into it. Watch this now. It's living into its unique wiring. So here's the deal. At Desert Springs, we'll frequently, some folks will say, why don't you guys do this? And one of our common responses has been, because the church down the street that we love and bless is doing that. Why would we duplicate the effort? Let's just invest resources into what they're doing. It's one of the reasons why you hear about so many of our strategic partnerships, whether it be Habitat for Humanity or Kitchen on the Street or PV Family Resource Center, because God is doing a work and we don't have to try to pack it all into our life form. When you envision the church, I want to invite you to envision it, not at which form is best, but how do we create healthy networks, healthy connections at the root level to support the unique life that God is doing in those spaces? It looks different than us. Perfect. So, when we engage in partnerships, we do so recognizing that God is always at work and there's gifts to give and there's gifts to receive. We're going to be sending a team to Uganda to serve with a ministry called A Perfect Injustice. Listen to me now. We are not going as saviors. We are not going as superiors. We are going as equals, just as ready to receive gifts as we are to give. In fact, this is not Santa Claus, where one person comes in with all the goodies and distributes them out. This is a gift exchange. We're all coming up to, we're coming into the presence of each other with a gift to give, but also hands and hearts ready to receive a gift. There's not better and worse. There's how are you living into the life that God has for you and the manifestation that God has for you, and we're gonna try and strive to do the same. So we're sending a team, and one of the things they asked for is that we would send teachers who could do teacher training, and the Lord has put together here about 12 of us that are gonna go, most of us teachers. Don't worry, I will not be doing any of the teacher training. I am the joker who is going to juggle for the children while the teachers do the training. And so we're going to send a team. They're going to do a week-long of teacher training. We're going to host our own version of Splash Camp for 100 of the students there at the school to free up time for the teachers to do the training that whole week. And so I'm going to actually invite the team to join me up here. And also Nicholas and Mary. Nicholas is one of our pastors and elders here, and he and Mary are going to pray over our team. And what I invite you guys to do is to pray for us. We leave on Friday, and I think it's 127 hours of flying. It might be less. But we're going to be flying out Friday. We'll get there, I think, Saturday night or Sunday. I forget. And then we'll be there. And so if you would, I would invite you to pray for us all next week, starting on Friday, and then our team gets back Sunday. Something like that, yeah. And there's a couple from our team that were not able to be here with us today. But Nicholas and Mary, would you pray for the Lord's blessing on this team and the ministry of A Perfect Injustice in Uganda?
Church, let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this team that is going to Uganda. And we thank you for the word that we have gone through in Matthew chapter 28, that after Jesus appeared to his disciples, he commissioned them. And he said, "All power and authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Then he commissioned them with that power and authority. So Lord, we pray for this team, that as they shall be going forth to Uganda, Jehovah God, that power and authority will be upon them. And that power and authority in the name of Jesus will strengthen them and stand with them, that every other power of the other kingdoms that operates in Uganda will not withstand them. And any kind of a power of opposition to your will and what you have sent them to do in Uganda will not prevail. The power and authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ and will be upon them as they minister, as they serve in Uganda. And we pray that Jehovah God, that word may come true, where Jesus, you said, you will be with us up to the end. So I pray that in the name of Jesus, you will be with this team as they go out and as they come back. And until the end of it, you shall be with them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's continue praying. Yes, Lord. As a family of DSBC, Jehovah God, this morning, we are so grateful for your many blessings that you have shown to us, oh God. Thank you for giving us a team to go to Uganda and represent us, oh my Father, to be a blessing to Ugandan's people and children, oh God. Father, we thank you and we worship you this morning. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for the obedience to your calling, Almighty God, to go and be a blessing, to represent your kingdom, Almighty Father. Lord, they have got nothing from their own that they can be able to offer, only that what God you have imparted in their lives, Almighty Father. By the power of your Holy Spirit, O God, we thank you that, O Lord, you'll use them, my Father, by your grace, to be a blessing, O my Father. My prayer is that, God, they are being there, Jehovah, and meeting with that part of the body of Christ on the other side in Uganda shall be, dear Lord, an experience that was with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John. The Bible says that, Father, their babies leaped from their wombs, Almighty God. Because, Father, there was a correction, Almighty God, of the power of your Holy Spirit, that your will was done here on earth. I pray that, God, your will shall be done on earth in Uganda, in the lives of this team, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, that they will grow deeper in your will, oh my Father, that this team, oh God, as you be with them as they go and come back, oh Lord, they will come with a new song saying that great is you, oh Lord, and great is thy work, Almighty Father, marvelous in their eyes, oh Lord. I thank you, dear Lord, and I worship you. And as for us who will remain behind, I pray that we will continue to lift them, oh God, in prayers, in your able hands, and we believe that as they come, they'll come with a testimony of great works that you are going to do. For the glory and honor of your name, we do pray, we give you thanks, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, we bless their journey. We receive the journey mercies to and fro. In Jesus' name, we pray and we believe. Amen and amen. Amen.
Thank you, guys. So thank you for praying for us for the next couple weeks, and pray especially for the students and for the teachers that we plan to have a gift exchange with. Let me pray for the Lord's blessing over us today, and then we'll dismiss. Lord Jesus, we love you and we give you thanks. As we strive to live out this calling, to make disciples of all nations, Lord, we know that that's something that you call us to, not only around the world, but also here, as there are many people who still are wondering what it means to follow you. And so would you give to us, by the power of your Spirit, eyes to see how it is that you're calling each of us individually to share your good news with others and to share your teaching, to love you and to love our neighbor as ourselves. May we be a people who also not only teach with our words, but also our actions and our attitudes and our postures towards others. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.